Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Boom, and we're in. Welcome, welcome, well, hang it, thrice welcome to The Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius. And this is a really special glow-up day because Susan McGee from Flexible Childcare Services Scotland has flown in specially from Edinburgh to be here today in The Clearing. So very, very welcome, and thanks for coming all this way to the Future Leap glow-up studios, as I like to call them, in The Good Listening To Show. So hello, Susan.
Hello, Chris, and thank you for having me in these swanky studios. It's very cool in here, so and nice to fly down and be with you today.
Lovely. Now, for those of you that haven't seen this show before, where have you been? I've been doing about 250 of these monkeys, but this is the show in which I invite movers, makers, shakers, mavericks, influencers, and also personal heroes into a clearing or serious happy place of my guests' choosing as they all arrive to share with us their stories of, well, just genius, really. And this is a hybrid because you're a founder of, yep, obviously, Flexible Childcare Services Scotland, but you're also a very, very impressive leader. I had the privilege of seeing you speak when I was working with Dave Stewart at House for an Artist. Do connect with Dave Stewart from Fresh Air Leadership on LinkedIn as well. And that's how we met. So yeah, let's just ask you, do you remember how we met, Susan McGee?
We absolutely. We met at House for an Art Lover in Glasgow with Dave, where we were doing a session for some fourth-year business students from Glasgow University, who were led by Matt Offord, I think, as well.
Another wonderful,
another great person, yeah. We had a super day, and you did your Spartacus moment in front of a great big rusty elephant. So, yeah.
Very memorable from that point of view, but also totally. Thank you for remembering that I did that. And I am indeed Spartacus.
You'll always be Spartacus in my mind.
Wonderful. And in fact, I was texting you as you arrived from Bristol Airport, and I actually offered you a Morello Cherry Blonde or a Raspberry Bakewell were the two choices. And if I may say, you do remind me, looking at you, in how beautifully, resplendently and colourfully you've turned up. Have you ever been called a Morello Cherry Blonde before?
I absolutely haven't, and I didn't think there was any message in that choice of cakes, but perhaps there was. So.
Well, it was just too obvious a cake, and there, yeah, is cake coming up in what we're going to be doing as well.
Good, I like cake. Cake is good.
you've come to the right place. So you're a real trailblazer within providing flexible, the clue's in the title, yeah, flexible childcare services. So for those of us that don't have a reference to your awesomeness yet, just talk us through how you've been really focused on addressing the idea that 25% of Scottish children are growing up in poverty, yeah, and then enter the awesomeness that is Susan McGee to try and address that and put it right through what you're now achieving. And just as I finished blowing some happy smoke at you, happy 5 years very, very recently.
Thank you.
That's why I got in touch to say, boom, let's bring you into The Clearing. Absolutely. So let's get you on the open road of how you most like to describe what you and Flexible Childcare Services Scotland do. And let me find your slide as well. Look at that, the Morello Cherry Blondie in all her resplendence. Over to you.
Super. So Flexible Childcare Services Scotland was created, it came from an idea that One Parent Families Scotland were delivering or working on with some of the parents they were working with who wanted to go back to work but were on 0 hours contracts or really low income employment and could not get back to work because they couldn't afford childcare. Flexible childcare is, it does what it says on the tin. It's book and pay by the hour, design your own bespoke session. So unlike a commercial service, it's not a set full day or half day. It can be absolutely bespoke to what people need. It's not like a school type service, which is 9 till 3. Saves people a lot of money on the cost of childcare. And 97% of our parents last year were better off by between £2,000 and more than £5,000. So for the 1,000 parents that we're currently working with, basing that on a kind of mean figure, it works out just close to £2 million back in the pockets of some of the poorest families in Scotland. So it's effectively tackling child poverty and making a change.
And you're propping up the Scottish economy because those parents are then freedom to make choices about going back to work, back to study, whatever they want to be doing.
Those parents absolutely are. And there's a brilliant case study on our website of a mum who had been struggling to get back to work. She was a self-employed hairdresser, was only able to do a couple of clients, started to use our services, was able to do some more work, but has now opened a business and is employing other working mums in that business. So it's really contributing hugely to the economy. So we contribute to so many things, to early education, to reducing the attainment gap, to tackling child poverty, to improving family wellbeing, and to boosting the local and national economy. Flexible childcare is the way.
And this was your brainchild?
The original idea came from something that One Parent Families Scotland did. And initially it was a home-based sitter service type model that they'd sent somebody to the house of those families they were working with. And they did a small pilot project of flexible daycare. And then I got involved and worked with them for around a year to take that model and scale that model. So we have developed it, worked out what works and what doesn't work, what the parameters are that need it to be successful and sustainable, how we maintain the quality of the experience for the children and young people. We now cater for children from babies right up to 18-year-olds who have additional support needs. So there's a whole range of things that we have taken that seed of an idea and grown it and scaled it and have huge aspirations to do more.
Congratulations. And also the fact you're 5 years in means you have ridden the crest of the wave of the pandemic as well. And when I heard you speak, I was blown away with a sudden image that occurred of you being like in a valley of adversity, screaming like a banshee in a good way in order to keep the wheels on the bus of Flexible Childcare Services Scotland. So I hope you'll tell us and give us some of those insights in some of the sort of struggles of the entrepreneurial journey as we go through.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been hugely challenging over that 5 years. We launched in January 2020, and of course COVID hit in March 2020. So it was a huge challenge to keep things going, to remain sustainable when the grant funding arena, I suppose, has changed so much, and there's such limited grant funding available. Funding rates that come through the nursery education grants are not enough to provide the service. So there's a constant juggle to get that balance between financial sustainability, providing the level of flexibility that families need, and ensuring the quality of early education for the children. And it has been really, really tough. This is the hardest role in my career to date. But oh my goodness, it's the best. I absolutely love every minute of it.
So let's get you on the open road of allowing me to curate you through the structure of the Good Listening To show, Stories of Distinction Genius. And as I said, this is a leadership reflection moment because you are an awesome leader, but also it's a founder story because of the fifth year anniversary recently celebrated. So for those of you, again, who haven't seen it before, there's going to be a clearing, a tree, a lovely juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1. There's going to be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton, and a cake. So it's all to play for. Marvellous.
Excellent.
So the invocation is to go where you like, how you like, as deep as you like, whenever you like. So, Susan McGee, CEO, I didn't call you this yet, but I'm referring to you. I'd like to call you the Pied Piper S of Scotland is in the clearing.
That gave me a real giggle this morning when I saw that. So, yeah.
Lovely. And so take that title because I think it's true.
Super.
You're bringing gaggles of very grateful parents and children throughout Scotland as the Pied Piper.
Excellent.
So where does Susan McGee go to get clutter-free, inspirational and able to think, where is, what is your clearing or your serious happy place, first of all?
I found this one really difficult when I looked at the thing. I thought, what's my serious happy place and a place to think? And they're probably slightly different places for me. On a day-to-day basis, it maybe sounds a bit sad, but I absolutely love work, and I get a huge dopamine hit from working and from being with the children. Their sense of awe and wonder at the world and their curiosity and their interest in things, I just love every minute of it, and the joy on their faces, and we're so privileged to look after them that it's wonderful. So I'm seriously happy when I'm in amongst the children in our services. But it's maybe not the best place to think and be creative as a leader of an organisation. I can think about what shapes we can make with the Play-Doh, but thinking about how we lead the organisation through challenging times and how we scale and support more families perhaps doesn't work in that surrounding. So for thinking, I guess I've got a couple of places. One thing that I really like to do is stop that really focused, oh, I've got to solve this problem, I've got to deal with this, and actually just go for a walk. And I suppose that's that magic of diffuse thinking, isn't it? Where you kind of set yourself something and then you're, I'm going to stop thinking about that. But your brain's such a clever thing that even when I'm thinking, you silly dog, stop that, and dragging the dog along when I'm out for a walk, that the brain is actually still working and finding solutions. So walking, being outside in the fresh air, really helps me to work through challenges and problems. And then in my sunroom on a Saturday morning at home, I wake up early and I like to get up early. My poor husband gets a lie in maybe to about 9 o'clock if he's lucky on a Saturday, but I've usually had a couple of hours by then where I've sat and done a little bit of work or reading good leadership books. So just sitting there with the birds singing outside and the...
And Frank snoring upstairs.
Oh, yeah. But no, it works well for me, those kind of things. So it's nothing grand. It's just the simple things.
You reminded me of that Nietzsche quote that Dave Stewart from Fresh Air Leadership reminded me of, which is the best ideas happen outdoors. And that is indeed true. You've got your dog with you by the sound of it
If you're two usually. Yeah.
Two dogs, yeah. And then we've got the sunroom. So you're going to choose which of those two spaces you'd like to be in now, because I'm going to arrive with a tree in your clearing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we better go to the sunroom because the dogs are going to cause chaos otherwise, especially when they see a squirrel. So
there are squirrels coming as well. In fact, that's inspired by the film Up, where the dog goes, oh, squirrels, but that's coming.
Yeah.
So we're going to be in your sunroom. I'm now going to arrive a bit existentially, deliberately, with a tree in your clearing, and I'm going to shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. You're very welcome to hold a...
Have an apple.
Don't try and eat it. It's not got a sort of a Sleeping Beauty-esque drug attached, but it is actually just a comedy prop.
That's okay.
Lovely. So this is where you've been kind enough to have thought about,
yes,
it's the 5 minutes to have thought about four things that have shaped you, mm-hmm, Susan McGee,
yep,
three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention, and that's the, oh, squirrels, as previously mentioned, and then the one is a quirky or unusual effect about you we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. So over to you to shake the canopy of your tree as you see fit.
Wow, super. Okie doke. Those four things that have shaped me, and I guess the obvious one first is the kind of those that came before and those that came after. So parents, family. I come from a line of strong women. My mum's an incredibly strong woman. She was a businesswoman in social housing, studied at university when we were young. So there's that real role model, I suppose, there, and is a fiercely protective lioness of her family. There's that kind of thing.
What a great expression, so, fiercely protective lioness.
She absolutely is. You wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of her. And then, I guess, my mother-in-law, who lived with us when we first got married, and is an incredible lady who brought up a large family. There were 9 of them, with very little. She didn't have a lot, but brought up a family of really good people with integrity and we're just lovely, good people, all of them. So I got that kind of background of strong women, and I feel inspired by some of that.
There's lots of DNA in childcare implicit if someone's got 9 children.
Absolutely. Of course there is. Yeah, totally. And then those that came after, I guess, better give him a mention, my husband, who is always supportive of the crazy ideas that I come up with, and we'll put up with the oh, but what if I did this, and the walks with the dogs where I go, oh, whoa, hold on, and all of those things and all the crazy challenges I throw at life. But my daughters, who, again, are 3 strong women grown up now, but challenged my thinking and forced me to be a better person, better version of myself, the best I can be. And I think you learn so much from your own children. They hold you to a really high standard. And I think they continue to shape me every interaction.
And there's a grandson in the mix now as well, isn't
there? There is a grandson.
At last, a boy is born unto the empire of women.
Absolutely. Harris, who is 2 and is an absolute delight to have. Yeah, we're all besotted with him. So.
And I was delighted in what he calls you, so just tell us that quick story.
I'm his Gaggy, I guess, because he couldn't say Granny at first, and it was such a nice way to say it, and it stuck, and I love being Gaggy. If anybody else had called me Gaggy, I'd have been hugely insulted.
But how dare you?
this characterful, delightful wee boy calling me Gaggy is wonderful.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And then I move on from all that kind of joyful stuff. And probably the next thing in my four things that shape me, I would say, is loss, which maybe isn't quite as cheerful. My younger brother died young from bowel cancer. My sister-in-law, my husband's sister, also passed from cancer. And a cousin, so my brother Ian, sister-in-law Marion, and cousin Gary. So I guess that loss that makes you reflect and think, oh my goodness, life's there for the living. Grab every minute of it. And I guess that's some of the drive and the energy and the inability to just sit still and do nothing.
So that there's kind a carpe diem.
Definitely. I'll sleep when I'm dead attitude. And I want to be the old deer that goes skidding into the grave at the last minute sort of thing, still partying. I think life's just too short. So that's a really shaping and defining aspect of life, I think, for me.
And I'd say Gaggy's credited you this very morning, I think, with, look, Gaggy looks like a rainbow.
A rainbow today, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. And then the third one I've got, I don't know whether I'm going a bit too deep and meaningful on some of all of this, but
no,
anyway, not
do.
To worry. I have a port wine stain birthmark on my face with a visible difference, and I was lucky. I grew up in a lovely village in Fife and never really had any issues. But I think it made me develop a resilience, I suppose. Anything that's different as you're a child growing up, I suppose, does that. But probably for a long time, I kind of tried to blend in a bit too much because of that. And I don't anymore, as you can see. I probably kind of wanted to shrink into the background a wee bit, I would say. But I absolutely don't now. And I put myself out there and wear bright colours and all the rest of it and sod it, basically. And some of that has come from the next thing, which was the fourth thing on my list of the four things that shape me. And this is a kind of more recent one. My eldest daughter has epilepsy and had a horrible seizure at the top of the stairs, came right downstairs, managed to rupture her spleen and was very seriously ill in hospital. Was really lucky that they managed to repair her, whatever you want to describe it. And she survived that and is super healthy and is the mum of my gorgeous grandson, her and her partner, and have their lovely house and their dog and great life. But that said, oh my God, you've got a second chance. Don't be hanging back. Just absolutely go out there, go for it. That's when I changed career from working in commercial side of childcare to do something different. It's when I got my mid-blonde shoulder-length hair chopped off and bleached white and pink put in it and all of those things, and thought, do you know what? You just have to go for it and absolutely live it. The worst thing nearly happened, but it didn't. So let's make the most of this and enjoy life.
Profound and lovely seismic shapages. Thank you. And now three things that inspire you.
Okay, super. So coming back to flexible childcare services, I am in awe of the amount of work they do and how committed they are to helping their families that they work with. Most went into this job to work with children, but the job has increasingly become a whole family support type role. So they've taken on a whole lot of additional knowledge and a responsibility around that. Traditionally, childcare is not particularly well paid, but our team are absolutely giving it their all every day. And some of the experiences they plan for the children, and then the subtle, gentle wraparound nurturing support that they offer to families, it so motivates me and inspires me. And that's the kind of thing when we've had issues around the long-term sustainability of the organisation over that first 5 years. We employ nearly 200 people and they are so, so good at what they do. Yeah, I can't let this organisation fail and let those people down. So they drive me to keep this going and actually to campaign so that funding goes up and we can pay people better for the job that they do.
This has reminded me of that moment when I perceived you as being in a valley like a banshee going, no, because there was a sort of existential threat at one point, wasn't there, to the funding?
There absolutely was, yes. We had a big funding gap and our board were struggling with how we could continue to operate the service with a funding gap that we had. And I was very determined that we would continue to operate the organisation. That team deserve every bit of that. We have to keep that going. And when I talk about them, and there's nearly 200 of the team, there's 1,000 families as well.
I was going to say that was an obvious ripple effect.
So the impact would have been a huge ripple effect if it had gone down. But the impact, if we can keep it going and we can do more of this for more families, that's when we start to eat into that 25% poverty in Scotland. And then we start exploring, having conversations and moving south of the border into England, moving UK-wide.
I was going to say there should be a
beyond UK
a dissemination of the extraordinary model you've struck upon.
Absolutely. And we are speaking with some local authorities in England already about that, and have a small amount, startup grant funding, to be starting to move south of the border.
And as global head of yourself, is there any internationalisation ambition?
I definitely think there are opportunities. The childcare model hasn't changed for years. When my own children, and my eldest isn't that far off 30, although she won't be happy with me saying that, went to nursery. It was the same model. It was the 8 to 6 days and all of those things. So it's not changed in all that time. Yet the world of work has changed, and the amount of poverty people are facing and the cost of living crisis. There's so many things that have changed. And that's not just a Scotland or a UK problem. That is happening worldwide. We have already had some conversations beyond the UK, just to share our learning and practice and how we do things with other organisations. But why not? This is a model that changes lives. So why? And it doesn't have to be us. They're delivering it everywhere. Other organisations can take the model.
Yes.
Not being protective of it and holding it.
And in terms of moving in political circles as well, I remember reading in researching you before today a blog post where, if I were first minister for the day, I mean, you are a force to be reckoned with, and that's a total compliment, I think.
I mean, it wasn't me, it was some of our team. The day we were in Parliament for our parliamentary reception, they had a little tour with one of the MSPs, and I'm not quite sure they were supposed to sit in the seats that they sat in the main chamber.
What's a P? Sorry?
It's the member of Scottish Parliament, the MP. So just gave them a tour around, and they did choose to sit in seats that I'm not sure they were allowed to. But anyway, not to worry, they did. And we got photos. So the photos just inspired that thought of, well, hold on, what would we do? You sat in the seat, what would you do? Write something. So our head of quality assurance, Leslie, and some of our managers spent some time having a wee thought about what they would do around that. And it was about funding and about flexibility, but a really lovely idea about, in Scotland, we have the baby box. So when a new baby arrives, every family gets a box, and it comes with baby clothes and some bath thermometer, comes with lots of things that are needed for a new baby. And the team were suggesting an outdoor box, because not all children have the coats and the wellies and the puddle suits and the things that they need to get outdoors. And actually, could that be a policy thing that would make a change in the lives of children? So they had some fantastic ideas. And I guess that goes back to that, what inspires you. This team are so, so good, and we are so lucky to have them. I'm just infinitely grateful for the work that they do. And I'm the face of the organisation very often. But I'm not the one that's putting in the grind in the baby room or planning activities and doing risk assessments so that they can take young people with complex additional needs out on the bus to go to the beach for the day, and all of those things, that there's so much good stuff happening. I mean, how could you not be inspired when you're surrounded by our future citizens, all these little people that are going to change the world for us, and a team that do great things for them. So
wonderful stuff. So we're still in the canopy of the tree talking about inspiration.
So some of the other things, I guess, are some of the other social entrepreneurs that I get to work alongside and learn through various cohorts and portfolios. So at the moment, there's the Scotland's Changemakers Programme with the Hunter Foundation. On Monday, I'm going to Catalyst for Impact. It's another philanthropy-backed fund, a cohort there with some of the other social entrepreneurs and businesses that are involved in that. So you sit with some of these people and you think, wow, I'm not the only one. This person's trying to change the world too. And this person's trying to change the world. And it's not all in the same sector. Some of it's around football, street soccer, and the work that David Duke does, or flexibility works. It's about flexible working and the change that can make. And Centre Stage, and Fiona from Centre Stage took on, I think it's the biggest asset transfer of a building, a whole old school, and has created around the arts a real place of connection. So there's all these incredible people that are running services that absolutely inspire, and they're so generous with their knowledge and expertise, and just happy to support each other, and the, quite an incredible group of people to be privileged to know and to work alongside and share thoughts and ideas. And I did have the third one I'd written, I've probably touched on some of when I was talking about the team, but it's actually the children and families who use our services, many of whom are facing multiple challenges. They might be coming back to employment after multi-generational unemployment in a family. They may be, we have new Scots that have come into the country looking for a better life. We have families that are working all the hours they can possibly work, but the pay in the sector they work in is so low that they are struggling to make ends meet. And I see how hard some of the parents are working and how driven they are to give their children the absolutely best possible life. You see the mum who hasn't got a winter coat because the money's been spent on the children's clothes and things like that. And just that little bit of headroom by being able to use childcare flexibly and spend less on it, work more because you can flex your work and your hours to match, makes a huge difference. And then I think, imagine if they had that parent-friendly flexible working and flexible childcare, if we could get an employer to jump on board and do some a test of change, something around that, what a difference it can make. It can be absolutely life-changing for people. So that, and children, because I've probably already said you can never fail to be inspired by children, the ones that they'll pick up the most a slog and they'll come and show you with great excitement and you've got to be excited. And they're just full of wonder and excitement and interest in the world. And it makes us realise that we should be too.
Wonderful. Yeah. Now we're talking about a clutch of nuts again. Squirrels.
Squirrels.
This is now borrowed from the film Up. What are the two monsters of distraction or shiny object syndromes that you have in your life? What are your two squirrels? And I could even throw a squirrel at you. Are you ready to receive
go,
a squirrel?
Go. Oh, and I caught it too.
So what are your two squirrels?
I like that you have nice red squirrels. Where I live in Scotland, we have red squirrels and they're just lovely. They're very cute. Much smaller than their big grey squirrel cousins. So they're.
I love the way you say squirrel. The only squirrel. Scottish can say squirrel.
Isn't it? So yeah, I guess the two things that never fail to grab my attention is, well, my gorgeous grandson, Harris. I would drop pretty much everything to go and see him. Would absolutely grab my attention at any time. And then the other thing, coming back into a more work and social justice world and all of that, is injustice. I hate to see injustice and people being treated unfairly and or anything like that. It's just, there's too much of it in the world. And if we were all just a bit kinder to each other, just
I think that's your absolute superpower.
Be kind.
Addressing injustice.
And in fact, I think the badge on my jacket today says treat people with kindness. And I thought, do you know what? If people just did that and just had gave people a bit of time and a bit of slack and support, then life would be so much easier for everybody.
Right,
I told you a story when I arrived this earlier today about I got on the plane this morning and I had booked a window seat because I like looking out the window, but there was a gentleman in my window seat. And I thought, do I be that person? Do I say, excuse me, mate, that's my seat. Do I have to be that person that causes a scene on a plane? No, you really don't. Just sit down. It's an hour's flight. Be nice.
The great lesson we know is be discerning in life with which battles are worth fighting, and not all of them are.
No, they are absolutely not. And karma plays a role, doesn't it, as well? If you're nice to people, things come back and work for you.
Reminds me of my favourite word in the whole world, reciprocity. What you give out, you will get back.
You absolutely karma. Do. Yeah, totally.
So. Great squirrels. I love the fact you've got your grandson as one of your squirrels. That's great. And then now, finally, we're on to the one, as we finish shaking your tree, which is a quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us.
This is a funny one, because I guess I live my life quite publicly. I share a lot on social media, but I suppose one of the character traits, and maybe people will say they know it about me anyway, I would say, and it might be a Scottish word, I'm not sure, I would thrawn, kind of stubborn and determined and don't like to be predictable and all of those.
Say the word again, thrawn.
Thrawn, T-H-R-A-W-N, I think it is, thrawn. So I hate to be predictable. I hate anybody to think she's the kind of person that would do that. Or when I say I'm going to do something, they say, nah, you're not going to do that, kind of thing. So the year I turned 50, I did a mile of burpees, a travelling mile of burpees. I did the Murph Challenge.
That doesn't mean you burp every pace.
No, no, a burpee, that exercise, the most horrible thing ever.
Oh, yes, sorry.
A travelling mile of burpees. So that was pretty interesting.
Children would interpret that differently. Oh, we're going to do a mile of burpees.
A mile of burpees. No. I did the Murph Challenge that year as well, all those and running and all the things involved in that. And now I am doing aerial fitness. So you will find me hanging upside down from a hoop or swirling about on a piece of silk hanging from the ceiling.
From a hoop and swirling about.
Swirling about.
So, love that. Yeah. And if I may say, I didn't know you had a strawberry birthmark until you told us. That was another cool fact.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Wonderful. So, can you just say swirling about on a hoop again? So,
well, I swirl on the silk. Ah. I hang from the hoop and swirl on the silks. So.
I'm very happy we got you to say that again. So we have shaken your tree. Hurrah! And
hurrah,
at this
indeed.
Point, I'd just like to say, to credit Dave Stewart, who we both know and love from Fresh Air Leadership Company, I got this exercise from Dave Stewart and I'm going to be forever grateful for him because it's the epicentric shaking of the tree of the exercise. So live on air, thank you, Dave Stewart, and I hope you're watching.
Thank you, Dave.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we have shaken your tree. Hurrah. Now we stay in the clearing, which is your sunny room.
It is.
And whereabouts do we live? Is Aberdeenshire, is that right?
No. I am Pow Mill. It's a small village near Dollar in central Scotland. Mm-hmm. So
lovely. So now we're going to talk about alchemy and gold.
Okay.
So when you're at purpose and in flow, Susan McGee, CEO of the Pied Piperess of Scotland, of Flexible Childcare Services Scotland, what are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
Can I be really sad and say working? Yeah, I do get my dopamine hit from working. I find it really difficult to take holidays from work, unless I've got something planned. I find it difficult to take time off because I love it. It's such a privileged role to be in, to be able to create these services, to create systems, to have a board that are supportive despite the challenges we've faced and we've come through those together, to be able to say, okay, we're going to grow this and we're going to do this service and we're going to add that on and that's going to make a difference for these families and the local authorities who work with us, who enter into partnership contracts to enable us to do that work. We've designed a piece of software to help other people be more flexible and to manage services. So there's never 2 days the same. I do love work. I absolutely love it.
And you're really leaning in and making a difference. It's not as mundane as just, I like to work. You're actually leaning in to make a real societal difference, which is important.
And that's the aim of it, yeah. It's not just about being just another childcare provider. I've done that. I've worked in this sector for all of my career. Well, I had a very brief sojourn. I left school and went to work with a makeup company, kind of an out of nappies and into lipstick kind of girl and light makeup. So I did have a very brief sojourn there and thought, no, I need to go and work with children. This is what I want to do in my life. So it'd be dead easy to just open another nursery, but it's not about that. It's about looking for the gaps and seeing where families are not getting the services that they need to survive, really, but not just to survive. We want these families to flourish and thrive. So it's about finding the gaps, the areas that commercial operators maybe wouldn't be interested in operating in. And the areas I'm looking at now are areas that are high on the index of multiple deprivation, where we know there's a challenge and we know families are struggling. And we get the opportunity and the great privilege of being able to go in and create a service in those areas to work with the local community and say, what do you need? Mm-hmm. To provide the nursery or the school-age childcare or the additional support needs work, but also to say, what kind of wraparound services do you need in this area? So in one of our nurseries in Aberdeen, the health visitor is based in the nursery rather than in the GP surgery, and has the whole cohort of the children at the service on her caseload, and that works beautifully. They get help with speech and language much quicker, they get referrals on to other agencies much quicker, and really great relationships between parents and the health visitor. So we don't want to duplicate. If there's a community centre that's doing the school uniform provision, things like that, we wouldn't do that. We would just signpost parents to them. If there's not, we say, well, okay, we work with agencies to have food larder access in our services, so that parents, if they are struggling and things are tight that week, there's always food available that they can take. It's always placed near the entrance so that it's subtle, they don't need to walk past the office or ask somebody to access it. They can do that with dignity. So it's more than just childcare. It's a different model of childcare at the core of a service that has wraparound community support.
And you mentioned a really lovely expression, families to flourish. Is that the badge or the banner under which this initiative all takes place? Or is that something you've just said spontaneously?
No. Flourish, I guess, is the word that's used in the Tackling Child Poverty Report in Scotland around enabling families to flourish. And there is... Without being too critical, because the policies are good, and the 1140 funded nursery hours that parents get, they get their funded places, and that's great, and it works for a large proportion of the families. It doesn't work for every family, and that's where you've got that quarter of families in the country that are still struggling.
Yeah.
And it's how can every family flourish? We don't want people to just get by. We want people to be happy and healthy and have enough money, and it's all well and good saying we'll put in place these policies to reduce the attainment gap and to improve early education. But if a child's been up all night because mum and dad have been arguing about how they're going to pay the electric because it's due to be paid tomorrow and it's going to be cut off if they don't top up their card, and what they're going to have for breakfast and there's no food, a child's not coming to our door in the morning ready to learn if they've been up all night in a stressful situation and they've had no breakfast in the morning. Mm. It's about education and early learning, but it's wrapped in nurture. It's a holistic model about caring for people and knowing that that learning takes place naturally through the opportunities that are provided within the centre.
And I believe I heard the story from you about something as simple and as basic as a coat rail on the way out where parents... Can you just tell us a bit about that story?
It's a really simple idea, but it's about making things... reducing the number of doors families have to knock on to get help. So if your wee one's outgrown their winter coat and it's freezing and they've not got a coat to put on to go to school, we have a simple rail in services that we say, take what you need, give what you can. So if you need a bigger size coat and there's one there, take it. If you've got one to bring in and hang up there, bring it and hang it up. If you've not, it doesn't matter. And actually, that's not just about you can't afford another jacket for your child. That's about the environment and the circular economy. And why would we buy something and the child wears it for a few months and then toss it out? I suppose it's going back years and years when things were handed down through families and it's almost artificially recreating that.
Hand-me-down rail.
So, yeah, exactly. And there's less waste.
When I heard you tell that story, my daughter, Lily, is a primary school teacher and I came back flushed with the beauty of that. And I think and hope that they're going to be instilling that within... Yeah. It's such a simple, basic,
really
common
simple
sense idea.
Yeah, and we did another one around Halloween time where parents are asked to get outfits for children going to school and you're like, oh, they can't afford to do that. So at Halloween, we had, again, just an outfit exchange so that families were just able to come to the rail with their child, pick something, and they've got a Halloween outfit. And it's so, so simple, but it's just about thinking, what can we do to make things easier and to help families? Does it help if you're already tight for cash and school says you've got to dress up for Halloween, you've got to dress up for World Book Day, we've got a trip to such and such and you've got to pay a £5 donation to that and you've got... The cost of the school day is a huge challenge for people. So we do what we can to reduce that.
So families flourishing and a currency of respect in there as well.
Absolutely. Everybody deserves dignity and respect. Everybody.
Boomtastic. Okay, I'm going to award you with a cake now. Hurrah, this is the last section. So here we go, a cake for you.
Like
so first
cake.
Of all, Susan McGee, do you like cake at all?
I do like cake. I like lots of cake, yeah.
And you had a Morello Cherry Blondie again this morning. Have you snaffled that already?
I have.
Yes, remember
it was lovely.
I had the great pleasure, I didn't know I was going to even do this, but call you a Morello Cherry Blondie. And here she is, if you're looking at the resplendentness of this. So now, this is where you're going to put a cherry on the cake.
Yeah. Okay.
So what is your favourite cake, first of all?
So we had a delicious cake at Easter weekend. I had everybody at my house on Easter Sunday and my daughter daughters are Rebecca, Louise and Olivia. So Louise is the middle one and lives in Sheffield with her partner, Aaron. And they like to cook. So they made us a beautiful pistachio and raspberry and pear cake. And oh my goodness, it was gorgeous. Really, really nice. So I like pretty much any cake, but right now that's the top of my cake list.
Just say the flavours again, just so we can all go nom, nom, nom.
Pistachio, raspberry and pear.
Get in. Okay, now you get to put a cherry on your raspberry, pistachio and pear cake by telling me now what's a favourite inspirational quote that's always given you succour, Susan McGee, and pulled you towards your future.
Okie doke. So I guess that kind of do the right thing even when nobody's watching sort of sits well with me. And I know I make life harder for our team at work sometimes because of that, because sometimes when you're faced with a problem, there's a quick solution. And there's the right solution. And the right solution is going to be harder. But ultimately, it's the right thing to do. And that's the route I want to go every single time. And I guess that comes back again to my not challenging that plonker that took my seat on the roof.
The plonker that took my seat.
Because to do the right thing was the right thing, not to disturb everybody and cause chaos. So in every aspect of life, and I don't get it right all the time, and we as an organisation don't get it right all the time, but I think that's something to hold yourself to try and do the right thing.
Just letting a bit of pause hang there. Lovely. With the gift of hindsight, what notes, help or advice might you proffer to a younger version of Susan McGee now you've come this far?
Care less what other people think. Absolutely. Do you know what? They're not even watching you half the time. They're not interested, are they? They're away looking at themselves and admiring how great they look in their selfies and all the rest of it. So they're really not.
Have you heard the adage that if you only knew how little the other person was actually thinking about you, you'd be quite disappointed?
Yeah.
Dashes us all on the rock of,
I know,
what, really?
But it's true, isn't it? Really, just care less what other people think.
And
it.
Be yourself.
Be yourself.
Everyone else is
exactly. Enjoy being you. Although I had that conversation with somebody, another nursery manager in Liverpool, I think, actually, quite some years ago about what that piece of advice. And she said she'd asked that question of her partner's granny. And the granny's answer was, I should have flattened more grass. So I'm not giving you that answer, but care less what other people
think. Just let that hang there. I should have flattened more grass.
That's what she said.
And we don't actually know what she means, but I...
Well, I think we've got a good idea.
Sorry, now we do. I think I've now got with the programme. So
yes.
Granny should have flattened more grass.
Yes.
We'll just leave that there. I'll do another... And now we're ramping up to Shakespeare in a moment to talk about legacy and how it's most likely to be remembered. But just before we get there, this is the Don't Like It Up by Mr. Mannering, pass the golden baton, please. So may I invite you, Susan McGee, to pass the golden baton along to keep the golden thread of the storytelling going to somebody else in your network that you know would really enjoy, benefit, or just like being given a damn good listening to in this way.
Cool. Again, that's quite hard because I know loads and loads of people that have wonderful, wonderful stories to tell. There is a lady who I think is London-based, and you may know, Laura Henry Elaine, writes the Jojo and Grangan books.
No.
Does some stuff for BBC Children's stuff now, I think, and has a childcare early education background. Laura would be super.
Just say her name one more time.
Laura Henry Elaine.
Henry Elaine. A majestic golden baton pass.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
And now, inspired by Shakespeare, all the world's a stage and all the bedded women merely players, now we're going to talk about, borrowing from the Seven Ages of Man Stroke Woman speech, when all is said and done, Susan McGee, CEO, Pied Piperess of Scotland, Flexible Childcare Services Scotland, how would you most like to be remembered?
Well, I guess bold enough to want to change the world and I'm brave enough to challenge the nonsense because some of the rules and laws we have are just made to be broken, aren't they? I mean, the ones that are about making sure you don't hurt anybody and that you're fair and things, then yeah, okay, that's fine. But there's too much nonsense out there. So challenge the nonsense where you see it. So bold, brave, innovative enough to come up with ideas and solutions to make those changes. So bold, brave, innovative and colourful with fabulous hair. So...
Boom-tastic. Right, I think that legacy is already in the bag. That's phenomenal.
I hope so.
Wonderful. So now we've got a very exciting moment, which is called Show Us Your QR Code, Please. And Joe, our lovely technician in the background, is now going to show a couple of QR codes. So first of all, we want to find out about, for those that can't scan the QR code, talk us through the website URL of Flexible Childcare Services Scotland, please, first of all.
Okie doke. So it's just www.fcss.org.uk.
And in the comedian in me, when I was researching, I was spelling it really carefully. I got one C too many, and then it nearly became FF. Yeah, anyway, so it's not that. So just give us the acronym once again.
So it's fcss.org.uk, Flexible Childcare Services of Scotland.
Boom. As this has been your moment in the sunshine in the Good Listening To show, Susan McGee, and sincerely thank you for coming all the way from Scotland to be appearing in the Future Leap Studios with me in the show today, which I'm very grateful for, and you're very, very welcome, as I'm sure you're feeling. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I think we've covered a lot. If anybody's listening and wants to talk about flexible childcare, I am always, always, always happy to talk to anybody about that. So please do connect. I am on socials fairly regularly, so people will be able to find me on there.
Wonderful, and thank you for that, and I'm sure they will. Get in touch with Susan McGee. If you'd like a conversation about guesting in the Good Listening To show too, then please get in touch. It's thegoodlisteningtoshow.com. A number of series strands. This has been a hybrid of leadership reflections and also a brand strand, a founder story. And very, very excitingly, there's a new cut and thrust which has been there all along in the mountainscape of the Good Listening To show, which is called legacylifereflections.com. And without any morbid intention, that's a way of using this unique storytelling structure to capture either your story or the story of somebody precious to you, near, dear, or close to you. Again, without any morbid intention, but for posterity, lest we forget before it's too late, using the unique storytelling structure of this show. So I've been Chris Grimes, but very, very majestically and importantly, an ambassador for Scotland and really helping the community and leaning in. This has been Susan McGee. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Other than thank you for having me. It has been a pleasure. It's been an absolute joy to spend time talking about life, work, alchemy and golden cake.
Thank you for coming, and thank you for watching or across the interweb as too. Thank you very much indeed. And let's get you some luncheonium before you head back up to Scotland.
Sounds super.
And good night.
Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to The Good Listening To show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the series strands at thegoodlisteningtoshow.com website. And one of these series strands is called Brand Strand Founder Stories, for business owners like you to be able to tell your company story, talk about your purpose and amplify your brand. Together we get into the who, the what, the how, the why you do what you do, and then crucially, we find out exactly where we can come and find you to work with you and to book your services. Tune in next week for more stories from the clearing, and don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.